Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain that you gave us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the seasons, Lord, that we have. It's certainly a challenge, but nevertheless, we're here. And thank you for the Sunday school hour for the children, that they were able to make it, Lord. And I certainly pray that you would do a special work in their hearts, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. And help us, Lord, as we go through the book of Numbers to gain the blessings of the eternal truths we see in the Scriptures that apply to us today even. And ask that you bless our hearts, Lord. Bless your Word. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so Numbers has 36 chapters ang Book of Numbers. Paano natin ibabahagi ang Book of Numbers? Tatlo ang bahagi ng Book of Numbers, magmula chapter 1 hanggang 9. At geography ang ginagamit natin sa pagbahagi ng Book of Numbers. The first 9 chapters, they are at Mount Sinai, preparing really to take over Canaan. They were really supposed to go straight to Canaan, take over Canaan. But you know the song, right? 12 spies went to Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? So imbis na na-conquer nila yung Canaan sa chapter 9, sa chapter 10, matutuklasan natin, marami ang nakinig sa bad news. And they failed. And because of that, what should have taken 40 days took them 40 years. So, eto pag-alagala sila sa Kadesh Barnea. And so from chapter 10 to 22, hinintay nila na mamatay lahat ng mga 20-year-olds pataas. And so there in Kadesh Barnea, sa gitna yan. So sa map, kung naalala niyo yung map natin. And then sa plains of Moab, doon yung second generation, at dinala ni Moises sila sa plain of Moab. At ngayon, mamamatay na si Moses, kasi si Moses nasali rin dun sa generation na first generation. Dahil sa disobedience ni Moses. Na sinabi ng Diyos, kausapin mo yung bato. Pero tinapik ni Moses ng 2 beses dahil sa galit niya. And so, na-destroy yung picture ng Panginoong Jesucristo. He was the rock that supplied life, the supply the water of life to the Israelites. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. And he died only one time. Kaya nung tinapik ni Moses nung unang beses yung rock, nung nandun pa sila sa Sinai, lumabas yung tubig, that was a perfect picture. Jesus died to provide life for our sins, provide life for us, spiritual life. Well, that was destroyed with Moses' disobedience. At si Moses, you know, sa isip natin, bakit ganun lang, no? Tinapik niya ng 2 beses yung bato, tapos ang bigat ng sumpa ng Diyos. Dahil hindi natin naunawaan ang kabanalan ng Diyos. No, bakit naman tinanggal ng Diyos si Adam at si Eva sa garden? Kinain lang ni Eva yung fruit, tapos binigay niya sa asawa niya. So, napaka-konti lang ng disobedience, pero napaka-severe ng judgment ng Panginoon. Dahil hindi natin naunawaan ang kabanalan ng Diyos. We don't know His holiness. That's why we look at the consequence, severe consequence, for such a light sin. Well, it really is not light. Yung sin ng disobedience and unbelief is anti-God. Kung baga sinasabi natin, if we follow our sin, we are saying, we are gods. We are in charge. There is no maker. There is no creator. And so, what a big offense towards our maker and creator when we sin against Him. And so, and Moses knows. Kasi, si Moses, binigay ng Diyos kay Moses yung batas. The law was given to Moses. And Moses knows better than to disobey the Lord. He was no victim. He was no uninformed miscreant. He was the lawgiver. So, if the lawgiver cannot keep the law, I mean, what's the point of having law? It shows us all that God is gracious, and He can use all of us in spite of our sins. And so anyway, Moses is at the end here, and he's going to remind the children of Israel why they're there and why they're going to take over Canaan. And he provides the explanation in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So by the way, ito yung laman ng exam natin. So we will have a final exam. And if you pass the final exam, you don't have to perfect it. But if you pass the exam, you will receive a Bible study tool na talagang magagamit niyo sa pag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos. Tapos Deuteronomy. Pasok na tayo sa book of Deuteronomy. And mako-complete natin yung first five books of the Bible. And so, excellent longitudinal study is what we're doing, but it's perfect. Alright? And also, let me remind you, by the way, meron tayong Bible Institute. Online pa. Okay? So, mamaya, pag-usapan natin, bigay ko sa inyo yung password code para gamitin ninyo yung, marinig ninyo yung lectures. You can audit the class. Ang ibig sabihin ng audit, pakikinggan ko lang. I just want to gain what I can from the class. You're not required anything except to listen. So, that would be a treasure to have, the audit, auditing a course. Now, on the other hand, you can also take it for credit. If you really want to, your listening to count for something, you can take it for credit. And sa credit naman, may mga requirements. You are required to exam. You are required to quiz. You are required to book critique, 250-page reading. You are required for class notes. And you are required for your research paper. Meron ka pang research paper na ibibigay. And so on and so forth. So, we have all that. Alright. Well, let's look at numbers here. So, from 23 to 36, nasa Moab sila. So, Sinai, Kadesh, Barnea, Moab. Yan lang yung outline ng book of Numbers. So, ngayon, we are now in chapter 5, and we're going to look at chapter 5 and 6. So, the first four chapters, organization. Inayos lang ng Diyos yung mga tribes. Naalala ninyo yung north, south, east, and west. Yung tabernacle nasa gitna, tapos yung mga tribes nasa north, south, east, and west. Sa chapter 1 and 2, binilang nila yung mga tribes, yung 12 tribes, yung 11 tribes. Except yung tribe ni Levi. So, kailan nila binilang yon? Sa chapter 3 at chapter 4, yung pinag-aralan natin last week. So, at yung mga Levites naman, yung tungkulin nila, hindi war, worship. They're for worship. Chapter 1 and 2, wars, yung mga armies, binilang. Chapter 3 and 4, worship. Now, we are in chapter 5 and 6. Actually, pwede natin going 5 to 9, kaya lang medyo mahaba. So, I will just break it down into 5 to 6 today. At titingnan natin, yung laman ng 5 to 9, consecration, or cleansing, or instruction. So, kung yung chapter 1 to 4, organization, yung chapter 5 to 9 is consecration. So, meron tayong mga principles dito na papag-aralan patungkol sa decisions and vows, sin, cleansing, and the Nazarite vow. Titingnan natin yung Nazarite vow. Alright, so let's look at Numbers chapter 5. And let's go ahead with the first four verses, and we'll read that here. So chapter 5, I would say chapter 5 is putting out the unclean, removing the unclean, separation, the doctrine of separation, and judging the guilty. That's the it's all about how to deal with sin. So Numbers chapter 5 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever defiled by the dead. So itong tatlo na ito, they are ceremonially unclean. Hindi sila fit na makihalubilo sa society. Kailangan i-quarantine sila sa pansamantala habang nagre-recover sila sa kanilang ceremonial cleanliness. So You remember the book of Leviticus talks about the lepers and how they have to present themselves before the priest. You remember Jesus healing the leper and telling him to go back to the priest. So Jesus honors the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers. Napakahalaga ng doctrine of separation from sin. Kung gusto mong maging mapayapa ang buhay mo, eliminate mo sa buhay mo yung sin. Get rid of sin in your life, and your life will be a whole lot happier, easier, peaceful. And so may principle talaga ng separation ang salita ng Diyos. And we get this from the book of Numbers. We saw principles of separation in the book of Leviticus. Kaya meron mga nagtuturo talaga yung Old Testament daw ay wala nang halaga sa New Testament time natin, sa post-New Testament time natin. Mali yun. Meron talaga mga churches na nagtuturo. 13 books lang ng New Testament ang para sa church. Hindi na raw dapat yung basahin niyo pa yung Old Testament. Wala na raw tayo doon. Now, meron mga aspeto ng Old Testament na wala na sa atin. Halimbawa, yung ceremonial laws. That is logical, syempre. Jesus Christ died, kaya hindi na tayo pumapatay ng mga kambing, ng mga hayop. He died. He is the payment. He validated all of those that were sacrificed. Kumbaga, credit lang sila. They were just the credit. He was the payment. So when he paid, he validated all that. So we do not offer animals. We don't observe Sabbath. So there are aspects talaga na obvious. But yung principles na madederive natin, for example, redemption. That is an Old Testament term. That is an Old Testament principle na applicable hanggang ngayon. We believe in redemption. Are you redeemed by the blood? Ibig sabihin, yung dugo ng Panginoon ay kabayaran ng iyong mga kasalanan. Do you believe in that? Well, that is rooted in the Old Testament. Redemption. So, there are things, there are timeless principles all throughout the Bible na hanggang magunaw ang mundo, tatayo pa rin ang salita ng Diyos saan man matagpuan ito, sa lumang tipan o sa bagong tipan. That is regardless. So, may continuity talaga ang Bible. Merong discontinuity, merong continuity. Alright? So, lepers, everyone that has an issue, those that are defiled by the dead, are to be isolated. Now, is that good medical practice? Yes, absolutely. And so you see, the Bible, it doesn't just speak to spiritual truth. It speaks to health and society. And how we function, obviously. So, forego the idea that many, many Christians in churches today that are backsliding would say, wag, hanggang spiritual truth lang yung salita ng Diyos. Hindi pwedeng makialam ang preacher sa buhay ng tao. That's not how the Bible reads. The Bible regulates everything, including religion. It regulates economy, finances, health, marriage, and by the way, our lesson mamaya, Matthew 1:18 na tayo, you'll learn the biblical way of obtaining a life partner. So, we'll see that. But these are principles. Principles. And we derive these principles from the Old Testament, and therefore they are relevant. It's like nothing has really changed. Sinners are still sinners. People still need to get saved. Jesus died on the cross for all of us, and so nothing has changed. In fact, God is working His will throughout the generations, and so even sa kapanahonan nila, God was working His will. Na dadali niya yung Messiah, yung land ibibigay sa Israel, at yung blessing, magiging blessing sila sa buong daigdig. God is slowly but surely working His will and way. Despite saints, sinners, and Satan. So anyway. Verse number 3, both male and female shall ye put out without the camp. shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps. So, ang sin, meron siyang defiling effect. Sin spoils everything. And if you don't know how to deal with sin, it'll destroy. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your church. It can destroy your society. It can destroy the nation, the country. Sin is a spoiler. And we have to separate ourselves from that. So, put it without the camp, that ye shall put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And God is the one who dwells in the midst. He doesn't want any part of that. And so God is a separatist. God is a separatist. He separates from sin. Verse 4, the children of Israel did so, and they put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. God said it, they did it. Amen. So, kung ganun lang ka-easy ang Christian life, if God said it, we'll do it. We'll be better off. Verse number 5 hanggang 10, ito naman yung section na kung saan yung guilty ng sin ay pwedeng ma-restore yung fellowship sa Panginoon. Look at verse number 5, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against the Lord, that person be guilty. And that person be guilty. Then shall they shall confess their sin which they have done, and shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest, beside the ram of atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. And every offering for all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hollow thing shall be his, and whatsoever a man giveth to the priest, it shall be his. So, here are timeless principles regarding sin. Una sa lahat, God identifies sin. So alam ng Diyos kung ano ang kasalanan, tinuruan niya tayo kung ano yun. So we know, avoid sinning. Try your best to avoid sinning. Depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Huwag mag-depend sa sarili natin. If you believe you can control sin, hindi mo na kailangan ng Holy Spirit. And so, the way to prevent sin is by relying on the Holy Spirit of God. Then, if you do sin, anong principles dito? Tingnan mo ang verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. Speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that man committed. Ito ang definition of sin. Here's a plain definition of sin. To do a trespass against the Lord. That's the definition of sin. So what is sin? It is trespass against the Lord. Every sin we do, every time we sin, we really ultimately, yes, we sin against each other. Yes, we sin against kapwa-tao, nadadamay. At paminsan, nagkakasala tayo laban sa tao. Paminsan yung tao nagkakasala laban sa atin. Pero ultimately, lahat ng kasalanan natin against the Lord. And so we have to make it right with God. But define sin? Well, it's a trespass against the Lord. Verse number 6, katapos nung trespass against the Lord. And that person be guilty. So sin produces guiltiness. And sino yung guilty? Yung may sala, yung gumawa ng mali. So, kung ikaw ang gumawa ng mali, anong dapat mo gawin para ituwid yung mali? Is there a way? Or walang pag-asa, walang hope? No, there's a way. Verse 7. Then shall they confess their sin. See? There's the principle. Confess. Lord, I've sinned against you. Remember, David confessed to the Lord. Confessing means agreeing and saying the same thing that God is saying against you, against yourself, and against your sin. It is taking the Lord's side. Hindi ako papanig sa sarili ko, papanig ako sa Panginoon. Nasa mali ako, ang nasa mali. Lord, forgive me. here's what I did. I did this, I sinned here, I said this, I did that. And Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord. And I agree, you are right, you are holy, I am in sin, I am wrong. Please forgive me. So confession brings renewal, brings revival. Confession is the first step. All right? Now, sometimes hindi sapat yung confession. There has to be restitution or recompense. And so, sabi dito, then shall they confess their sin which they have done and shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof. So, if you stole, then you confess your sin. I'm sorry, I stole this. Please forgive me. Yun ang confession. Pero yung recompense, by the way, I replaced what I stole. Or I'm returning it. Oh, yun yung recompense. So, yung tunay na nagsisisi, kahit ano ang consequence, gagawin niya yun. Hindi siya makakatwiran. Hindi siya magsasabi, hindi kasi, iniwan mo kasi yung gunting dyan, kaya ginamit ko. Oh, hindi repentance yun. That's not confession. That is not recompense. That is excuse. The reason why I sinned is because that you left it over here and so I took it. But I'm returning it now. Here it is. But that is not repentance. Repentance is I really should not have touched it. It's not my business. I should not have messed with it. And by the way, I'm sorry. Here it is. I'm returning it. And actually, I got you a nicer... Oh, yun, yun talaga. Oh, I got you a nicer... gunting. Scissor. Greek, Hebrew, English, Tagalog. Did you know yung Hebrew ng soap? Sabon. The Hebrew word for soap is sabon. And the Tagalog of sabon is soap. It's the same Hebrew word. So talaga, pati Tagalog na apekto ng Hebrew. Anyway. But, so sabi natin scissor. Oh, sinuli ko yung scissor. Kaya lang nakita ko, medyo hindi siya matalis. So, eto, bumili ako ng bagong scissor para sa'yo. Oh, see? Now, that is recompense. And there is confession and recompense. So, principles ito, nagbago ba ang Diyos? No? So, kung gusto mo mag-confess at saka mag-recompense, is that still acceptable? Absolutely. So, you see, the principles don't change. Even though it's the Old Testament. Verse number 8. But if ye have no kinsman... Alright, we already read that. Verse 11. Verse 11 hanggang verse 31. This is a test case or a sample case patungkol sa adultery ng isang babae. So, you know, my wife was reading the Bible here and she said, now why are they picking on the ladies here? What about the men? I told her it's not about picking on the women. It's just this section from 11 to 31 is a specific case of an adulteress. An adulteress. So, there are consequences for male adultery as well. Kaya lang, this is a test case. So, here's the actual case, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither shall she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, anong gagawin natin? Nagseselos yung husband, may tangka, hindi niya alam kung anong katotohanan. Then they go to the Lord, and the Lord will reveal, and the Lord will show them. Verse 15, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest. And so, in bold talaga ang religious authority dito. He shall bring her an offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal, and he shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy. So meron palang jealousy offering. And an offering of memorial. There's a memorial offering, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. So let God judge. We don't judge. It is the Lord who judges. And the Lord uses the priests in the process and the instrumentations of the Old Testament here. And the priest shall take the holy water in the earthen vessel and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle the priest shall take and put it into the water. And the priest, verse 18, shall set the woman before the Lord. So, yung power ba nasa priest? Wala. The discerning factor is the Lord. It is not the water, the dust. Those are accidentals. Those are just incidentals. Ang essential talaga is the presence of the Lord. God, if you want to know the truth, be in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So kung nakay Messiah ka, if you are in Christ, you can know the truth. You don't need water and dust and all this. All right? Now these are a shadow. That's why God included it here. And certainly, by the way, God does not operate miraculously in our day and age, just so you know. Now, I'm not saying there are no miracles. I'm saying, as a manner of process and way, God is silent ngayon. We are post-New Testament. Walang new revelation. There are no new revelations. There are no new miracles going on. We are under the providence of God. God operates in the background. He doesn't operate in the forefront like He did over here. Now, when Jesus comes back and establishes the millennial kingdom, hey, guess what? We're back again to the miracles. Pero sa ngayon, if God answers your prayer, that is a miracle. That's from the mercy of God. And God is not obligated. Katulad nito. God is obligated because He obligated Himself to reveal whether this woman is an adulteress or not. So ngayon, huwag mong asahan. Don't go come to me and ask me to make this holy water and drink, you know, have some lady drink it. I'm not doing that. So, but how do we know the truth? How do we as Christians, post-New Testament Christian, know the truth? By reading the Word of Truth. By listening to the preaching, teaching of the Word of Truth. In the place of truth. Ano yung place of truth? You are the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of the living God. So you see, eventually, papalitan ng Diyos, we will no longer be a church. We will be in the millennial kingdom. And so on and so forth. Anyway, verse 18, and the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head, put the offering of a memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have his hand the bitter water. So I thought, painumin niya yan. That causeth the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath. Susumpapa itong babae. So this is very legal. So don't forget, yung society ng Old Testament, at this time, it was theocracy. Theocratic. God was ruling in the midst of His people. So this is what God wants. So God obligated Himself to intervene. We are not living in a theocracy. Ano tayo ngayon? What are we today? Democracy. Oh, sinong namumuno ngayon? Sino yung demo? Demo is Greek. Theo is God. Naalala ninyo yung Greek ninyo? Theo is God. Theocracy. Democracy tayo. So what is demo? People. People. So now the majority rules. Kumusta? How are we doing as a lipunan? Not good. Why? Is it because of the system of governance? No. It is because the heart of the people are in sin. So the answer is Jesus. If Jesus rules in the heart of people, they will make wise decisions. So the answer is not democracy, totalitarian, republican, etc. These are all systems of human government. If you don't change the heart, it doesn't matter what the government is, it will not work. So, monarchy. Pumasok sila sa monarchy. And did they fare well in monarchy? No. Why? Is it because the king is bad? The monarchical system is bad? No. The human heart is flawed. All right. Boy, I tell you what, this study is getting somewhere, aren't we? Verse 19, the priest shall charge by her an oath, saying to the woman, If no man have lain with thee, and if thou hast gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. This is physical affliction brought about by sin. So, I am not saying if you are physically afflicted, it's automatically sin. Alright? But I am saying sometimes our sin causes physical affliction. That is true. Verse 22, and this water that causeth curse shall go into thy bowels, and that make thy belly to swell, and thy thigh to rot, and the woman shall say, Amen, Amen. So, now the priest shall write these curses in a book, and shall blot them out with the bitter water, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water, and causeth the curse. And the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and the priest shall take the jealous offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the offering before the Lord, offer it before the altar, and the priest shall take an handful of offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterward shall cause the woman to drink water. And when he hath made her to drink the water, it shall come to pass that if she be defiled, and if not, and have done trespass against her husband, that the water causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, her thigh shall rot. The woman shall be cursed among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, she shall be free, and shall conceive seed. So there will be the blessing. Kung inosente naman siya, God will show and reveal, and she will be vindicated. Verse 29, this is the law of jealousies when a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy cometh upon him and he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all his law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. So we'll see later, Joseph wanted to put away Mary privately. Ayaw niya na maging magkaroon pa ng maraming scandal. He just minimized everything. But if Mary was not innocent, she would bear her sin. And Joseph will be guiltless from divorcing Mary. But there's so much more. We'll talk about that later. Okay, but this applies. This will touch on that lesson later. So, only God knows and can deal with sin. We must be careful not to judge. No? Huwag tayong judgmental na nakikita natin yung panlabas lang, hindi natin alam ang puso ng tao. Pero sabihin ko sa iyo, anong turo ng Bible? Paano mo alam ang puso ng tao? Oh. What are principles that we know we can judge? Well, kung lumalabas yung pagmumura, yan ay dahil yung puso ay hindi clean. If you are dwelling on sin in your heart, it will always come out of your mouth. That's a principle of Scripture. And so if somebody's cussing or using God's name in vain, that is because, that is obviously there is sin in the heart. We are not judging. Pero sasabihin natin, bawal ang pagmumura sa tahanan ng Panginoon. Sa tahanan namin, sa bahay, hindi pwedeng nagmumura sa bahay. Why? Are we judgmental? No, we are not. Ang judgmental, yung wala kang basihan sa salita ng Diyos, pero may decision ka. Now, that is judgmental. Pero yung meron kang basihan sa salita ng Diyos, at sinasabi mo, oy, tumahimik ka, huwag kang magmura. That is a violation of the word of God. That is not judgmental. Ang judgmental yung preference ko lang. Wala naman akong basehan sa salita ng Diyos. Ba't ka nagsusot ng pula? Ang ikaw, magsusot ka ng pula, dapat itim. Slimming pa ang itim. That is judgmental. Wala naman sinabi ng Bible na pula is sin, black is beautiful. That's not scripture. But if you have scripture basis for action, that is not judgmental. So we have to be careful about these things. Numbers chapter 6. Ito naman, yung Nazarite vow. So notice, Nazarite. Hindi Nazarin. Iba ang Nazareno, iba ang Nazarite. Yung Nazarite, hindi Nazaret. Yung Nazareno, hindi yung itim na Hesukristo. No, it's not the same. Yung Nazarite, ang ibig sabihin ng Nazarite, separated. The word Nazarite means separation or separated one. It is a decision or a personal vow that a man or a woman can decide and take upon themselves to serve the Lord or to honor the Lord. Yung extent ng Nazarite vow depende sa individual. So a person could say, for the next 3 months, I will take the Nazarite vow. Then that is their prerogative. If another person says, well, I want to be a Nazarite for a whole year, I will give my service to the Lord for a whole year. That is personal. That is their decision. Who's better? We can't judge that. That's not us for us to judge. A Nazarite vow is personal, voluntary. And we have a lot of principles we can derive from this. Let's look at verse number 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either a man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. These are principles of separation. We separate from sin in order that we may separate ourselves unto the Lord. So, see, for example, here. We separate ourselves from the normal, usual calendar and schedule. Diba? Para tayo makarating dito, we say we are separated from the world. O, yung world ngayon, anong ginagawa nila? Day off. Nagre-relax. Siyempre naman, kahit naman ng kahit, Monday to Saturday, pagod na pagod yan. O, the world takes a day off. Sa kanila, happy day off. Have a happy day off. O, sa mga Kristiyano, is this a day off? No, not really. It's a day that is like a day off. It's enjoyable to come to church and we can get edified and blessed. But we are serving the Lord. You see, we separate ourselves from the schedule in order to be dedicated to the Lord. So ito yung dalawang panig ng separation. You always separate from something. You always separate unto something. And so here you have, they separate themselves unto the Lord. So, verse 3 hanggang verse 12, you have the requirements explained. Alright, so what is a Nazarite? What are the requirements? Let's look at verse number 3. First, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and he shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes and or dry. All the days of the separation he shall eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, of the kernels, even the husks. All the days of the vows of the separation. Okay, so verse number 1, 2, and 3, 4. Wala siyang alak, hindi siya inom ng alak. Oh. Whether it is fermented or not, even grape juice, hindi siya inom ng grape juice. Meron bang masama sa pag-inom ng grape juice? Wala. Meron bang masama sa pag-inom ng alak? Yes. Okay. So, whether grape juice or wine, na intoxicating wine, a Nazarite is separated from that in order to be separated unto the Lord. Verse number 4. All the days of the separation, verse 5, I'm sorry. All the days of the vow of the separation, there shall be no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy. He shall not let the locks of his hair. He shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow. So, ito yung problema ni Samson. Naalala niyo si Samson and Delilah? Oh, yung strength ng Panginoon nasa buhok niya dahil he is a Nazarite. That was a vow. He violated that vow. In fact, he violated the next few vows here in the grapes even. Pati sa grapes, na-violate din niya yan. Uminom siya. He drank and he did all that. But God still used him to defeat the Philistines. Yes, God uses us in spite of our sins. But the problem with Samson, hindi siya na-bless sa paggamit ng Panginoon sa kanya. He suffered the consequences of his sin. But that's the scripture here that relates to Samson. Now, there are others, other Nazarites in the scriptures. Do you know who the Nazarites are in the scriptures? Samson? John the Baptist was a Nazarite. Kaya yung diet ni John the Baptist, locust and honey. Hindi siya pwede sa grapes. And hindi rin siya nagpagupit. Okay? So you see these things. Alright, all the days of he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come. Meron pang isa pa, Samuel. Samuel was a Nazarite. Any other Nazarites? Do you remember? Okay, that will be your homework, huh? You look up a Nazarite. Sunday school, hello. Verse number 7, he shall not make of himself an unclean for his father, for his mother, for his brother, for his sister, when they die. So, halimbawa, namatay yung nanay, tatay, hindi niya pwedeng hawakan yung katawan. Dahil ito ay sacred at important sa Panginoon and defiling to ceremonially for the relative. Because of the consecration of his God upon his head, all the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he be defiled in the head of his consecration, then shall he shave his head in the day of his cleansing. And on the seventh day he shall shave it, and on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles and two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall offer one for the sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, to make atonement for him. For he that sinned by the dead shall hollow his head the same day, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation. Shall bring a lamb of the first year of the trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. So, in the process of his service for the Lord as a Nazarite, if he violates his vows, he needs to make trespass offering and peace offerings and burnt offerings to cover for that violation of his vow. And then he starts again to fulfill his vow. Okay? Verse 13 hanggang verse 20, ito ay yung ceremonies involved in the Nazarite vow. By the way, that's a Nazarite. Sino yung Nazarene? Yung Nazarene, yung mga nakatira sa Nazareth. And Jesus lived in Nazareth. Kaya siya ay tinawag Nazarene. Huwag niyong tawagin Nazarite si Jesus. He is not a Nazarite. He's a Nazarene because of the location. Verse 13. This is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of the separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb for the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, one ewe lamb for the first year without a blemish for the sin offering, one ram without a blemish for peace offerings, and baskets of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, wafers, unleavened bread, anointed with oil, the meat offering, and their drink offerings, and the priest shall bring them before the Lord. So this is all the ceremonies that are involved in the Nazarite vow. Verse 17, he shall offer the ram of sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord with the baskets of unleavened bread, the priest thereof, also the meat offering, his drink offering. The Nazarite shall shave the head of offering. So, ito yung katapusan ng kanyang vow. He's concluding his vow. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of the separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation shall take the hair of his head of his separation and put it in the fire that is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of a ram and one unleavened cake out of the basket, one unleavened wafer, and shall put it upon the hands of the Nazarite after their hair of separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. For this is holy for the priest with the wave breast and heave shoulder after that the Nazarite may drink wine. So now, this is the conclusion. He finished his days of separation. He is now reintroduced into society as a regular person. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed and is offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that this his hand shall get according to the vow which he vowed, so must he do after the law of his separation. So, vows are important to God. Kaya huwag kayo mag-vow sa Panginoon ng madalian. By the way, pag yung babae, nag-vow siya ng mali, her husband can cancel the vow. That is in Deuteronomy. Mababasa natin yun sa Deuteronomy. Pag yung anak na babae, nag-vow siya ng mali, halimbawa, nag-vow siya, napakakasalan niya yung young man, pwedeng i-veto ng tatay. Sabi ng tatay, ano, that is a wrong vow. You cancel. Yeah. So, pag sinabi ng babae, Dad, nag-vow ako, bibigyan ko na si Lord ng 1,000 gold pieces. Sabi ng tatay, halika. Nung 1,000 gold pieces, saan ka kukuha nun? Yung tatay ay may authority na mag-cancel ng mga vows. So the dad has authority to cancel a daughter's vow. The husband has the authority to cancel a wife's vow. So vows are very sacred to the Lord. They're not something to be done before the Lord. So ang principle dito sa atin bilang Kristiyano, when we are challenged by the Word of God and we make a decision before the Lord, we have to keep that decision. And every time you hear preaching and teaching of the Word of God, dapat merong truth na natututunan mo at dapat magsasabi ka, Lord, I'm making a vow, I'm making a decision. At hindi dapat easy ang pag-decide. But when you make a decision, make sure you follow through with that decision. God is interested in seeing if you will keep your decisions, your vows before the Lord. Pag kinasal ka, kami ni Marcia, we made a vow. In our marriage, in our wedding day, is a vow before the Lord and His people. Anong vow namin? We will be faithful to each other for the rest of our lives. That is something you do not violate. And if you violate it, you are sinning and you are guilty. Verse 22. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, let me say something. When you make a decision for the Lord, asahan mo yung blessing ng Panginoon. Hindi easy ang mag-decision. Pero pag nag-decide ka talaga for the Lord, tutulungan ka ng Panginoon. Do you think God will help you when you make a decision for the Lord? No matter how hard the decision is, no matter what the challenges of the decision is, if you honor the Lord, tingnan mo ang verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God obligates Himself to those who separate from sin unto the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the principles that we derive in these chapters are so important, they're so significant that decisions and vows are important to You. I pray that we don't make them without thought, without prayer, without true searching. But God, when You reveal things to us and You show things to us, as far as we're concerned, help us to have tender hearts to make decisions for You and to seek Your blessing in it all. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.